That was a long reading, wasn't it? But lots of action in it. Well, yesterday morning, it took me... Let me find my little clicker. Yesterday morning, it took me a little longer to get the service organised on the computer than it normally does. And that's because I was watching this at the same time. So it was a wonderful morning as England beat New Zealand. And what made it even better, we haven't got any New Zealanders here, have we? No, good. And what made it even better was that no one expected England to win. The captain, the coach of England, Eddie Jones, was in a press conference. And he asked people who thought that England would win. And out of 100 people there, 97 said New Zealand and only 3 said England. They were the underdogs. And that is something of what we have here as the apostles, Jesus' first followers, the people that he told to go and tell other people about Jesus, as they were here in front of the religious authorities. The most powerful people in the country were there as these ordinary fishermen stood before them. I guess it was a bit not like England versus New Zealand. It was mostly like Stourport Rugby Club versus New Zealand. Complete mismatch. One feeling very weak and the other looking very strong. But actually, by the end of this chapter, we see it's a completely different, unmatched encounter because it's not a few apostles against the religious and political authorities, but it's God against these religious and political authorities. The God of the universe versus the Jewish authorities. As we see that God and his plan are unstoppable. You see, Peter and John have already been locked up once for what they did last all age. They were locked up and they were told never to speak about Jesus again. But do you know what they did? They go out and they do it all over again. That's what the bit that we missed out in verses 12 to 16. What's what we find them doing? Doing signs and wonders to show that they are God's messengers with his authority as his witnesses. But then verse 17, if you've got your Bibles open, look down there. You can follow along as I look through the passage. We're told that the high priest and the rest of the Jewish authorities were jealous. They didn't like what was happening as all these people were starting to follow the apostles. And so what do? They lock them up again. They put them in prison. And they think that that would be the end of it. But God and his plans are unstoppable. So look what happens next. Verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. So there they are, locked doors, guards standing watch, but those are not going to stop God's plan. So verse 21, where do we find the apostles? Well, that by daybreak, as soon as morning comes, they're there again in the temple speaking about Jesus. They don't think, whew, that was a lucky escape. We've got out of jail. Let's go and disappear. No, they're there again in the temple teaching the people. And there's a wonderful comedy moment here because if you look on a bit further, you see that when the guards report, that though the doors, they go and try and find the apostles, and they find the doors locked and the guards guarding the door, and they come back and they report back to the Jewish authorities to say that the apostles have disappeared. And at the same time, someone else comes in and says, by the way, look, verse 25, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts preaching to the people. Well, they're there scratching their heads thinking, what's happened? Where are the people that we've locked up for not talking about Jesus? They're there talking about Jesus right under their noses. It's a bit like trying to keep a beach ball underwater. That's why there's a picture of a beach ball up there. It's a bit strange, isn't it, for God's unstoppable plans. But have you ever tried, on holiday maybe, in the swimming pool, and you got your beach ball, have you ever tried keeping a beach ball under the water? Have you done that? You get it and you push it down, and maybe you're kind of trying to sit on it or to lie on it, but whatever you try and do, eventually it just kind of pops back up again. And you try again and it pops up. And that's what it's like with these the apostles speaking about Jesus. The authorities try and push it down, lock them up, tell them to stop talking about Jesus, and what happens is just pops up again. Just listen to the high priest in verse 28. He says, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. We said stop it, but you're still doing it. We can't stop you. Why? Because God and his plan are unstoppable." So what do they do? Well, they try to arrest them again. And in verse 40, over the page, they order them not to speak about Jesus. But what do the apostles do? Verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, so both publicly and privately, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, let's try and have an illustration of this. Children, do you want to come up to the front and help me? Let me go for a moment. Hello. So, just warning, you might get a little bit wet. So, children, why don't you come around this side? That might be easier. You come around the back of the table so all the adults can see as well. So what I'm going to do, it sounds very simple. I'm going to pour some water in here, and you need to make sure you've got to stop it from coming out. Okay? Does that sound easy? Okay, well, you spread out along that table. If you all come behind, so you need to all be able to reach the bottle. Maybe if the taller ones, so maybe Quinn or Hannah, why don't you come around this side because you've got longer arms. That's it. And bring Zach into the middle. Right, okay. So dead easy. I'm going to try and keep all the water in the bottle. Oh, it's not too bad so far. Oh. Try and cover it all. Are you managing to keep it all in the bottle? Oh! Cover it up, quick! Are you doing it? Oh, no! Oh, I'll just hold the bottom there. Oh! You can't do it, can you? It's not working. Would someone be able to go and get a towel from the kitchen, maybe? Are you okay? Well done. Didn't get too wet, did you?
I got my seat wet.
Oh, that's fine. It will dry off. It will dry off. Right, go and take a seat. So here's as simple as a towel there if anyone needs it. So, a very simple question. Could you stop the water from coming out? Could you stop it? No. No matter how hard you tried, whatever you did, it just kept on coming. And that is what it was like for the Jewish authorities stopping the apostles. They'd stop it in one place, and they'd stop them speaking about Jesus, and it would just pop up in another place. Despite all their power to put people in prison and to tell people not to speak about Jesus, they are powerless because God and his plans are unstoppable. You may have heard there's a wise man here in the passage who recognized that, a chap called Gamaliel in verses 34 to 39. You see, this is not the first time they've dealt with someone challenging their authority. And so this man, well, he's just said, just think about it. There's been people like this before who started revolts, who've tried to fight against us. But what happens when the leader dies? It stops. It dies out. And so, if this is from humans, verse 38, He says, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail, just like all the others. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. And Gamaliel's right, isn't he? See, if it's human, then it won't last. There's been lots of things that have come and gone. But here, God and his plans are unstoppable. They can't be thwarted. As we see the spread of Jesus' message round the world. That's why you've got those pieces of paper. You wonder why you've been given a purple piece of paper. We're going to try and visualize the spread of the gospel round the world. Okay, so Angela here is going to be, and so you all need a piece of paper, okay? Make sure you've got one. Angela's going to be Jerusalem, okay? So she's going to hold up her piece of paper because the gospel started there. And then it slowly spread. So Alison, could you put your piece up? So it kind of spread up through into Samaria. And by 200 AD, it was over in Africa. So Sandra, you put your piece of paper up. And it was also in Rome. Emma, you put your piece of paper up. And then through the Roman Empire, it spread round the whole of Europe. So can you three over there all put your paper up? And then it spread east as well. So can Vicky and those over there go put their piece of paper up? And then in the 17th and 18th century, it spread even wider into the rest of Africa and things. So if the rest of you can put your piece of paper up. So over 2,000 years, look around. The message of Jesus Christ has spread to every corner of the world. There is nowhere, no country, where Jesus has not been heard and where there's not followers of him. Because it's unstoppable because of God. So please put your faces down now. God and his plans are unstoppable. We're going to sing before we come back and think about what that's going to mean for us. So, singers, do you want to come up? And we're going to sing of just how big our God is. So, children, do you want to come out to the front? Good. So, we've seen that God's and his plan are unstoppable. But what does that mean for us? So what? How should that change the way that we live? Well, firstly, it shows that it is stupid to resist God. It is stupid to resist God. That is the logic of Gamaliel, isn't it, in verse 39. If it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. And the point is, you won't win, will you? If you're going to be fighting against the God of the universe, you are going to lose. You're not going to be more powerful than him. You're not cleverer than him. There's no way to outwit him. You won't win. I think the picture shows that already, but let's have another go. So, Callum, come on out. See, I've got a lovely bag of sweets here. And if anyone can get them from Callum, or any of the children can get them from Callum, then... Yeah, we won't like ask you to strip off, though, I think. Yeah. So anyone who can get them off Callum, any of the children, if you can get them from Callum, you can have them. Oh, it's all to you. You see, he is too big, too powerful, and too tall for you ever to get the sweets from him. But I wonder that instead, if you went to him and asked him for one nicely at the end of the service, I think he might give you one. Same. It's better to be his friend than his enemy. And it's the same with God and his plan. Those who have tried to stop it, well, they've just disappeared. There's a book that I love to read called Killing Fields, Living Fields. And it's all about how the Khmer Rouge, which was in a country called Cambodia, and they were a very vicious, ruler called Pol Pot. And he wanted to get rid of all Christians. And so he made it his aim to kill every Christian in the country. But now, where's Pol Pot? He's nowhere. The Khmer Rouge, who he ruled, nowhere. But there are Christians all over Cambodia. It is stupid to resist God and his plan. And that's a reassurance for those around the world, isn't it? To a place like North Korea or China. That the authorities that are trying to stop Christianity won't win. The gospel will outlast them. But personally too, for us, if you're not a believer particularly, you won't win against God. However long you stand in resistance to him, rejecting his rule, one day we're told that everyone will bow the knee before him. That's been the apostles' message all the way through so far as they come. So verse 30, back over the page. The apostles say, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of their sins." You killed him, but God exalted him. You tried to keep him down, tried to get rid of him, and God raised him up and put him in the place of honour as leader and saviour over all. And so the message always, so far, has always been the same. Repent, turn back. Stop trying to resist God and turn to follow him. And that brings us to our second point, which is that if it's stupid to resist God, if God and his plans are unstoppable, then listen and obey him. No matter what threats or the authorities make, no matter how powerful they looked or how afraid the apostles were, all the way through, the apostles recognize that God is the one that they need to listen to and obey. So they're told, aren't they, to go, when they get set free from jail, to go and tell people about this new life. And so we're told that at daybreak, as soon as they could, they entered the temple courts, as they'd been told, and began to teach the people. They do as they're told, because they know that what they must do is obey God. They say it's exactly that in verse 29. We must obey God rather than human beings. Who are you going to obey? Who are you going to listen to? The God of the universe or others? We must obey God rather than human beings. You obey the one in the greatest authority, don't you? So those children at school, and teachers, you hope this happens, don't you? But if the teacher tells you to put away the pens, so they ask you to go and put away all the pens, and then a child says to you, "No, you don't have to do that. Go off and play instead." Who are you to listen to? The teacher or the pupil? Who has the authority to tell you? Who's the one you must listen to? So that is sometimes hard, isn't it, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, have been Christians for a while. You know how hard that is to listen and follow God. Because there's lots of other people telling you to do other things. So we've got one more game for us here to try and make this point. So I need someone to volunteer, two people to volunteer for me. Do you think you can work well as a team? Yeah.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Go on. So I need one of you. Do you mind being blindfolded? Okay. So I'm going to blindfold him. Okay. Now, what you need to do is you need to tell Toby how he's going to walk all the way around the back and back down the aisle, okay? So you've got to tell him which way to go. So do you know your left from your right? This could be fun then, couldn't it? So you've got to tell him which way to go, and everyone else, all the rest of you, have got to tell him the wrong way to go. Okay, so you need to shout out the wrong way to go. Okay, so Toby, you need to listen to Oliver and don't listen to anyone else. Okay, this is your left, this is your right. Okay? Let's see how this goes.
Turn right. Stop. Stop. Turn right. From this side. Oh, there's somebody in front of you.
Oh, nice and loud. Oh, wow, he's off. Well done. Come back this way. Well done. You did very well there. I was very impressed. Well done. Give him a round of applause. So, Toby, you did a great job there of listening to Oliver and not listening to anyone else. And that helped you go the right way, didn't it? And that is the challenge for us, because it's hard, because there's so many different voices telling us what to do, the way to live. And it's going to be very tempting to listen to them, but we need to listen very carefully and listen to God and trust him, even though sometimes it may seem like the wrong way or the wrong thing to do, because God and his plan is unstoppable. So we want to follow him even when it's hard. And that's true in this particular context, isn't it, about speaking about Jesus. So talking about Jesus can be very hard sometimes. At times when people don't want you to do so. They want you to be quiet. Oh, no, you're not talking about Jesus again, are you? You're not allowed to talk about Jesus at work. You're not allowed to talk about Jesus at school. You're weird. You may be scared about what they might do or how they might treat you. But what does God tell you to do? But it's not just speaking about Jesus. There's lots of ways that we're tempted to listen to others around us rather than God. But the apostles are right. We must obey God rather than human beings. And we know it's worth it because God and his plans are unstoppable. If we follow Jesus, we know we will be on the winning team. So one of the people who played yesterday was this chap, Willie Hines. Now, Willie Hines was born in New Zealand, and only 4 years ago did he move to the UK so that he could play rugby for England. And you can think, as he made that choice, there must have been a lot of people thinking he was making a crazy decision. His family must have thought he was a traitor, but eventually they've turned around, so his dad says, I've been a solid All Black supporter until the present time, but now I've made the change. England all the way for this one. It's swing low, sweet chariot. I really want England to win, absolutely. But even with that, you must have thought they must have had a question mark in their minds, mustn't you? As, before kickoff, thinking, have I done the right thing? Am I supporting the right team? After all, All Blacks had won the last three World Cups, and they seemed undefeatable. People must have mocked them. Mocked Bob, saying, why are you supporting them? You're going to lose. But this morning, well, they know they made the right choice. And so it will be with us if we choose to follow Jesus and be on his team. We may think at times that we've made the wrong choice. It may be tempting to switch sides, to to listen and obey the world. But there will be a day when it will be clear for all to see that to be with God is to be on his winning team. When everyone will be in no doubt that it is stupid to resist him and that the right choice is to be on Jesus' team. You see, what we see here is that God and his plans are unstoppable. It's stupid to resist him. So instead, listen and obey him. Let me pray. Pray that will be the case. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder from the actions of the apostles that if we fight against you, then we're fighting against the God of the universe, that we will lose. Instead, so Father, help us to be those who would listen to you, knowing that we need to obey you rather than human beings this week. In Jesus' name, amen.